So the three groups that Emil has talked about, what we would call those that were the heathen nations, those that were the moralist, and those that were the religious people of the day, we find they are all taken up in verse 9 of the chapter that we have. And it's a wonderful question that it begins with. Questions are good. Questions make me think. Questions make me look at it and evaluate it. And I want to evaluate it in the light of the written word. It's the only way I'll ever get a correct answer. Every other evaluation is going to end up being wrong. What then? Are we better than they? No. In no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Now we're going to look, take these verses down here one at a time. Because you look out into the world today, and you see the confusion that is all around you, and you might have this in mind. What is going on? How's come things are such a mess in this world that we live in? You've lived for the last 10 years, and I'm telling you, you've seen a lot of changes that people in 20 and 30 years, 40 years, never saw. It's going downhill quickly. This is what the word tells us would happen before the Lord comes. So we see morally, we see spiritually, we see that it is a great slide. That not just the United States, I'm going to bring Canada, they're in it. Germany's in it, Japan's in it, the Netherlands are in it. We find that it's everywhere, this great decline. Are we better than they? No, he says, but that all are under sin. It's not all under sins now. We're going to get into sins later in this book. If you want to distinguish between sin and sins, we must think of the tree that bears fruit. Okay? The fruit of a tree, we're going to look at it in the analogy. Those are the sins. The tree itself is that which is bad and produces bad fruit. So he says, all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Chuck. Are you sure about that? And the Spirit of God says, absolutely. There is none that are righteous. We had it last night in the gospel, didn't we? And this is the playing field that we're going to look at here. This is Adam's race. We can't escape that. We're all part of it. And this is how God looks at the world that we're living in today.
And so I think this is a very important point that we want to establish. We made reference to Romans chapter 1, verse 11, that we might be established in the truth of the gospel. And so one of the very first important elements, if you would, is that there is none that is righteous, none that doeth good. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. The thought of the understanding is connected to the intellect of men.
Mind.
You know, we are in this culture and society that looks within us and says that there's something good in us. And God says, there's none righteous. There are those that say, well, look at my deeds. I do good things. Well, the Word of God says that all are under sin, meaning the root in us, going all the way back to Adam, is under sin. And therefore what we produce are deeds that are displeasing to God called sin. How we think now. The world says, I want you to understand that I can think, calculate, bring me closer to God if I believe that there's a God. And my thoughts for some may say there is no God. And so that therefore I'm not under any kind of rules, regulations that a God might have. The word of God says there's none that understandeth. And then lastly, there's none that seeks God. There might be religious individuals that will tell you, I go in a monastery, I'm seeking God. There may be those that say, I have this religious pattern of good works. The word of God here says that men might think that they are seekers of God, but they are not. In fact, you go back to the book of Genesis. When sin came in, our foreparents hid themselves. It was God that sought them out. Mm. You see, sin will always put us in a position where we want to be away from God, because his righteousness, his holiness, we cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God. So there's none that understands, none righteous, none that seeketh after God. What a deplorable condition man finds ourselves in.
So the state of man is seen in verse 10. The mind of man, write this down. This is good. The mind of man is seen in verse 11. Tony gave us the understanding. The heart of man is seen in part B of verse 11. None that seeketh after God. Now, many men have many ways that they'll tell you they're seeking after God. Good works, going to Sunday school, learning verses, and we get into some of the religions and walking on fire and walking and making long trips. You know, it all, they all have one thing in common. They're all false. Every one of them. There's no man that seeketh after God. And do you know that was true of you and I before we got saved? We were right there. This is a picture, if you want to look at it that way. This is a picture of you and I. This is the mirror. I look into that verse, and I don't see the parson sitting beside me. I don't look into that mirror and see John. I look into that mirror, and I come face to face. This is why I need to be saved. This is why I need to come to the knowledge of God, as it is only seen in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It says there is none that seeketh after God. So there's a bad state. There's a bad mind. There's a bad heart. And then they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none good. No, not one. What do I see there? I see my ways. I see what I do on a day-by-day basis. And here's a beautiful illustration of why the cross of our Lord Jesus was so necessary. Do you know what this is telling me? It's not very flattering. I may dress nice. I may be attractive. I may be pretty. I may be handsome. I may have a great intellect. I am bankrupt when it comes to my relationship with the living God. I have nothing in my hands that I can bring. I have nothing that I can point to and say to a holy God, that's in my favor. No, I don't have anything. This is man's condition. And I want to go back to a verse that Emil didn't mention, because you're going to be challenged on this. You're going to have people that are going to look at you and say, now wait a minute, I don't think you know what you're talking about. And what can I come back at it? I stand unhesitantly on the written word of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We want you to leave this conference this year having exactly that same mindset. Whether it's a professor, whether it's one of my customers if you're older, whether it's others in the community, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I stand on the principles that we have in his word.